Would you please lift that hand and bless God? Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We all agree here that your power and by your Spirit that you'll be able to teach us. And we thank you. We recognize your presence. We acknowledge your presence here. And we ask your blessing upon not only those that are seated here today, but also those that are watching online across the city and across this region, the Thunder Bay area, and around wherever they are across Canada. And we give you praise for by the Holy Spirit. We invite him, the great teacher. He's our guide. He's our leader. And so we ask him that he would speak through us, that he'd talk through us and give us information that we need today in a very practical way. As we leave here, we'll be saying, thank God that I came to church and I got something useful for my life today that I can apply right away. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. 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 If you go to your Bibles with me, please, I'd like to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. I'm reading the King James Version. And I'm going to talk about some things this morning. I had different things in my heart. I wanted to go back to the healing message that we talked about a couple of Sundays ago. And I felt that we need to touch back on that again a little bit more. And a couple of other things I want, and I believe the Lord, Holy Spirit, will bring this up, but I want to talk to you about the last days, the topic on the last days. There's so much about the last days we need to understand. This is some of the things on a more practical level I would like to talk about. And I entitled this message, Don't Live in Darkness and Fear. Of course, as I mentioned, our topic is last days. And the text is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Paul is talking to Timothy, a young minister, a man of God, and talking to the church. Understand the letters written by the apostles. They're written to the church. They're written to the people of God for that time and this time. He says, know this also, that in the last days, everybody say last days. Perilous times shall come. And the idea I want to get across to you this morning is this. We're living in dark times. I don't know if you notice that. Sometimes people, the scripture says, if you read the scripture, that there's some Christians that are sitting in darkness. They don't know what's going on. Either they've been ignorant, failed to go to the Bible and read the Bible themselves, and fail to listen to the signal on the inside with the Holy Spirit telling them about what's happening. We see a lot of hype going on, people getting excited about everybody else's stance on what's going on, what's right, what's wrong. I see this happening right inside this church. People taking sides, people doing different things. And the Lord is asking me to tell you to cool it. You know, the Lord knows what he's doing. We got to stick with the Bible, and I think we can't emulate everybody else except what Scripture says. And in fact, I saw someone yesterday that I thought a Rhema graduate who was a pastor in Canada, and he said some things that I thought, you know, line up against our country, and we shouldn't be saying things that are derogatory towards our government or people at any time. So we need to be ready, walk with God, amen? Walk in love and walk softly. And so don't be quick to judge right away because of what's happening. That's what I'm trying to say to you. So because you don't want to be running ahead of yourself, you know? And so live in peace. So we're living in dark times, and the days are getting darker and darker. And I don't want to use the pulpit as a political platform. But the Bible talks about certain things that we should mention. So we're not talking about taking sides of governments and marches. I'm not telling you to do all that stuff, but I'm just telling you to watch what the Scripture says. So it says here in Isaiah 60, we're talking about dark times. So we're living in dark times. The days are getting darker, but we're going to shine brighter and brighter. Can you say that? We're going to be brighter and brighter. We should be brighter and brighter. Jesus said we're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the earth. The Bible says we should not walk in darkness. And so use the scriptures and begin to align yourself. When I was at school at Rhema, they told us, you know, the scriptures are given to us so that we would begin to regulate our lives according to scripture. And not be out there somewhere. Isaiah 60 verse 2 says a prophetic word here. I'm reading the King James, this version. It says, "Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon thee." I believe that applies to us. As the days get brighter, people are going to look to you for answers. We should have answers. You know, we should have something to tell people, to give them reasonable, you know, peace, how to be conduct themselves in this time. You know, I know people are going through tough times. People are going through challenging times, not just in our landscape of our nation. And around the world, if you watch the television, you'll see different things that are going across with, you know, I was looking at the stuff that Ukraine and Russia and China's stance on different things and different countries that are doing different things, that the world is pregnant with some kind of eruption that will occur at some point. There's a change in the weather spiritually. And so the scripture that I'm saying that, you know, we need to be in the scriptures and we should have peace in our hearts and not be in fear. Amen? You know, the Lord's not going to forsake you. And don't be afraid and start collecting things that, you know, you have to put in, stay in your home. I remember years ago, I think it was 1989, we went to Rhema. And I remember that they were afraid that 2000, what is it, the 2000? Y2K? So there was all kinds of talk. How many people remember that talk? There was all kinds of stuff going on. People were afraid. So we were invited to speak in Texas, my wife and I. So we went there and spoke at a church. And we went to a nice church. I mean, a nice property and everything was good. And they said, oh, we're keeping cans. And we're building shelters. And, you know, when the clock strikes midnight, things are going to happen. And I said, okay, sure, praise God, you know. But I mean, they invited me to speak. They didn't ask me to speak on that. I just, you see that. So they collected all kinds of stuff. They got a hole in the ground, and the devil's coming, different things happening. And you know, we laugh at that. And there's different things that's happening even today where people are asking different things. You know, the Bible tells you, as a Christian, you will not be in darkness. You're not going to be afraid. If you understand Scripture, God's going to take care of you. And that's why I'm trying to say to people, like, listen, don't get caught up in all the stuff that's going on. That's outward things. Yes, there are things happening. Yes, there is a shaking going on. But we're not afraid. And, if you see me that don't show up here, then, hey, you know, there's something going on. But hey, don't be afraid of those kind of things. You know, we need to be confident in the Lord, confident in what we know, and not be afraid. There's stuff going on, you know, I mean, people can be afraid. But here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4, Paul's talking to the church there at Thessalonica, which applies to us today. But ye, brethren, you are not in darkness. Everybody say, I'm not in darkness. So the Bible tells us you're not in darkness. You're not in the, you know, you're in the loop with God. God will tell you. I believe this. This is my belief. You can. If Jesus is going to show up in the rapture, he's going to put something in me that tells me, get ready. We're about to head up. There's a thing called rapture, a time called rapture where Jesus shows up. He's not going to come on the earth, but he's going to pull up the church. That's in Scripture, pretty clean. And I'm not afraid of the rapture, are you? No. It's called the catching away. Anybody that's his is going up. You know, I mean, there's people that went up before us, like Elisha, he went up. Enoch went up. Just whoop, he's gone. And Jesus went up. So that's called, you know, it's a type, you know, but the rapture is going to happen one day. That's in the Bible. But we're not going to be afraid of that. We should get happy. You know, I remember years ago, in the 80s, when I got born again, people were talking about the rapture. They were saying things like, I hope the rapture comes pretty soon because the world's getting too bad. And when I got saved, some people tell me, hey, listen, don't go to school. Jesus is coming soon. You know, just go ahead and go around witnessing. Spend all your time witnessing. Well, you can't listen to everybody like that. Stick with the Bible, amen? So, are you okay with this script? These scriptures? Okay. I don't want to scare anybody. I mean, I'm trying to give you some peace here. So hey, listen. The clock is ticking. We're living in biblical times of great proportions. We're seeing signs and different things happening. Prophecies happening, being fulfilled or partly being fulfilled. And so we're seeing these things taking place. And I mentioned that rapture is taking place. Joe's getting a call. Things are coming. There's second coming of Christ. There's different things happening, you know, Antichrist. And I was laughing that we were 2 years ago. I think it's going to be 3 years this year. We were at Rhema, and Pastor was telling us about, people thought, you know, about the Antichrist. They're talking about Antichrist. Antichrist is here now, like in the world. The spirit of Antichrist is in the world. But they thought personally, like, you know, everybody thought in the day when they were growing, our pastors and all that, saying, oh, you know, Hitler, he's the Antichrist. Or Stalin, he was the Antichrist. Or different ones. Then they start saying the Pope was the Antichrist. Well, he died. And then they said Gorbachev was, because he had that mark on his forehead. I don't know if you guys remember that. I mean, people say all kinds of stuff. I mean, you can't just believe everybody. Right? You got to stick with the Bible. Like, people get excited about everything. You know, I was driving down the road here, and I met, like, at least 30 trucks. That was before the convoy. I was like, where are all these trucks going? I'm going to pass this one truck. And I had to pass 30 trucks in a row. I said, what's happening? Why are they going this way? Then again, 30 other trucks were behind me. I said, where are they going? So different trucks. Must be the same truck. I don't know. But there was a lot of trucks on the highway. And that was pretty scary. So everybody had their predictions about the Antichrist. Who's the Antichrist? So the clock is ticking. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, the Amplified Bible says this, but understand this, that in the last days will set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. Well, you know, these are lots of stuff going on in the world. Things happening. I mean, I wouldn't want to be living near the Parliament Hill or Queen's Park. Things going on there. I mean, they make it bigger than it is sometimes, but they make it seem like it's everywhere. Everywhere. But so anyway, the common English says, understand this, the last days will be dangerous times. Are we living in dangerous times? Well, there's always danger out there, but this seems like more dangerous now. The New English translation from this Bible says, but understand this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Well, personally, without the pandemic, without, you know, COVID, and without the cold weather, I was having a bad time. Myself, you know, just having a hard time. My wife and I mean, different things going on in our personal lives. People getting sick and drug addiction and all kinds of stuff happening. I mean, we were not drug addicts, but, you know, we're but different things happening. I was telling people that some of you know Tony Peglia. How many of you know Tony? We did his funeral. I was talking to him 3 weeks before I left, about 3 weeks ago when I left for out west. We said, okay, Tony, we'll get together. And he'd been struggling for a long, long time. And he passed away from you know, not from COVID, just the fact that he was very, very sick with diabetes and so on and so forth. But I came back home and on yesterday, a cousin of mine, her daughter passed away in her sleep. That's a couple days ago. And the day before that, my cousin's young child committed suicide. And the day before that, it was on and on and on. But you know, we're living in a time when things are going on. Kids, young kids. I did a funeral about 4 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago. I got back home. I went to my community, and there was a young man that just died before Christmas. Committed suicide, 14 years old. And we're living in a hard time. We have leaders in our communities. They don't have any solution. I had one chief call me, said, Roma, we need you to come in to do services. I said, okay. So we're gonna go and do some services in some of these areas. A friend of mine just passed away, like from COVID, that you married. Pastor Ken, didn't you marry this guy? And he passed away. I mean, before he passed away, I was over, and he was ill. He came on live Facebook. He said, "I thank God I came to the hospital. I'm well," because the doctor said if I would have came in 2 hours, I would have been dead. You know? I'm trying to cheer you up. He's not sure. But I'm telling you, the reason I'm saying this is because we're living in tough times. So I said to the people, I said, I don't know how many times I did funerals this year. I think this last 2 years. In all my life of ministry, I don't think I've done so many funerals in the last 2 years. For people who are addicted on drugs and who got sick and who died. And, you know, they say firefighters, people on front line, they have PTSD. Is that what they call it? What about us? You ever understand that pastors have feelings? We have to deal with people, go in. But the Lord is gracious to us. If I wasn't a healthy person, strong spiritually, I don't know what I would be doing. I'd ask you to be praying for me every day. So you have to learn to stand. I'm telling people, you need to learn how to stand on your feet. You don't see me going on Facebook and say, everybody pray for me. I take care of my own spirituality. And I expect everybody else to do the same, unless you can't do it on your own. Yes, then we can come and help you. Like I've never told people we should never ever pray for you. I'm just saying that really, spiritually, you're supposed to be praying for your own children. That's God's given children. That you got to believe God for different things. Now, there are some things in crisis. You see, Bible principles tell you there are certain crises that you have that you ask prayer for and understand what those are. But most of the time, Bible tells you to take your prayer time to the Lord. And you pray. You go in your closet every morning. Hey, if you went to your closet every morning, you're not going to be as afraid as some people are. And you understand God. He'll take care of you. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to tell you, listen, we need to grow up spiritually. The church hasn't been really growing the way it should. And we should have confidence in our God that nothing's going to happen to me. That we're praying even if we did get into trouble. You still love me? Am I being too hard on you? No? So you know, you need somebody, a father in the faith, to tell you, listen, read your Bible. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Don't get too excited about what's going on around you. Stay level-headed, and don't get excited and grab a truck and start running around. Start buying a truck, you know, or whatever it is. I'm not just, you know, like whatever you, I'm not against truckers or anybody else, like what's going on. But there's some things that is going a little bit to one side. I'm not gonna say something bad about, criticize our prime minister. I don't walk in his shoes. I don't like to be criticized. Do you like to be criticized? Bible says if you don't like to be criticized, don't go criticizing other people. Let the people who are supposed to criticize, they're paid to do that. The opposition is paid to do that. Right? And so let them do it. And listen, if we really believe our prayers and believe that God can touch the king's heart, as the Bible says, and change the king's heart, then we ought to do it. I remember a prophecy, a scripture, Brother Higgins said that he had a vision. And in that vision, he said he saw this monster come out of the sea. And it was attacking New York and some cities. And he saw in that vision and fires and different things going on. And the Lord said to him, that the church, that it's the church's business to start praying for the government. Because there are spiritual forces that's coming against our government to implant and do different things spiritually. You know, if you read Ezekiel, if you read some of those other chapters in there, Isaiah and so on, you'll see that there are two kinds of kingdoms working right now. There's the natural kingdom, which is our governments, and there's a spiritual kingdom above that. There's another kingdom called the devil. Jesus called, Satan the god of this world, or he says the prince of this world, prince and power of the air. And those spiritual forces will try to work through the governments and different things. And sometimes people are trying to natural fires when we should be spiritually fighting the fires. And we get our mind off all the things that's going on, and we forget about it. We lose our heads and get involved with our emotions because I am this, I am that. You lose your head. We walk by faith, not by sight. That means we walk by scriptures. Now, I understand I don't like some hockey teams. If I get on the bandwagon about the hockey teams too, man, I'm fighting against my own brothers. I know there's times I'd like to send a message to Pastor Steve. we tease, we have this thing going together about like his boss. My team lost last night, by the way. Every team I'm cheering for, the women's curling, they lost. Huh? If I was as keen as watching, what is her name? What's the curling woman? Jennifer Jones. If I was keen as following her as I am, if I was to the Lord, I'd be a spiritual giant. You know. Okay. So anyway, let's go back to the scriptures. We say these things because it's tough times. So the. God's Word translations of this 2 Timothy 3:1 says, you must understand in the last days, there will be violent periods of time. Do you see any violence going on in the world? See any hard times going on in the world? Well, that's what he's talking about. We are living in tough times. People don't, it says, we'll see here. So here is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, the Message Bible says this. Don't be naive. How many naive people do we have here? Don't raise your hand. Okay, so watch this. There are difficult times ahead. And as the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck-up, profane, contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse, dog-eat, dog, unbending, slanderers, impulsively wild, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags. Well, this is a Message Bible. addicted to that. Well, the reason I like this is because it gives you things, terms that people will use today, regular terms. And if I use the King James, people just sitting there going, they don't even know that the Bible's talking to them. They're not spiritual. And intellectually, it's far too far to them to understand, over their heads. So you read stuff like this, and you say, windbags, addicted to lust, allergic to God. They'll make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they're animals. Stay clear of these people. I know when they go to the gym, people say, that guy is an animal. He works hard at the gym. So, my wife talked about Winter Bible Seminar. I've gone there for 20 years. I've gone to Tulsa every year. I obeyed my pastor. He said, come home regularly. So we went home for 20 years. Every Winter Bible Seminar, February, for 1 week, I'm there. We're all there for 20 years. Every summer, I'm there for summer Bible. And sometimes, even other times. Now, you're going to your son's graduation. You're making plans. Well, we're sending you, too. You better go. So why do we go to Winter Bible? Okay, so for 38 years, almost 40 years, 38 years. I'll just say 40 years sounds good. So they've been having Winter Bible Seminar. Brother Hagin had it for years. So we went there because, of course, Pastor Hagin told us to keep coming home because that's our spirit, he's our covering, our spiritual father. And he says, come to get refreshed. Recharge. So we like to get recharged. Like these guys are serving night and day. They're just kind of working, doing different things, driving truck and hauling snow and whatever. And they come to work here. They have to work another job to work here. That's what I did for 20 years. Worked at the college. I worked at college almost 20 years teaching. My wife and I taught there for 20 years at the college so that I can work here. it's amazing. The Bible, well, Pastor Hagin says, you got to do what you have to do. You have to do what you have to do. Don't get expect to be, if the Lord called you. I believe the Lord called me. If I didn't have the spiritual experience I had, I wouldn't have gone into ministry. I would have never gone into the ministry. Why would I waste my time trying to talk to people that didn't want me? So I'm here because, not because you called me, but because God called me. It's good to know. But it hurts too when people don't want you. On the natural side, right? When people get rejected, when you get rejected. But not that you reject me, you love me. I'm talking about over the years. So we go there sometimes to get direction, to get actually, hey, God gives a direction. And whatever, pastor says sometimes, and hey, that resonates in my spirit. I know God's talking. And so that helps us to solidify what we're doing is what God wants us to do here. And so another thing we did is to enjoy fellowship, to have a good time. Enjoy the presence of the Lord. Like last week, we went over there to out west, and we enjoyed such a wonderful time. And the anointing was at a high level. And it was so wonderful just to flow in that anointing. So, but 2 Timothy 3:1 again. Remember that there will be difficult times in the last days. In the last days, there will be terrible times, stressful, hard to deal with, hard to bear times, difficult times, dangerous times, troubled times, violent times. We're living in these last days, as we said. There's times, there's an end. And then time, and it looks as if it's up to, right now, as the Bible says, we're living in that time. There's a clock going on. Here's what 2 Peter, the apostle, says. 2 Peter 3:8, New Living Translation says, but you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. And 1,000 years is like a day. That means there's no such thing as time in God's presence. I don't know if you understand this. Some of you understand this. When you go out in the Spirit, there's no time. Amen. We're living in something called time, but in the spiritual realm, there's no time. When you think about eternity, you think it's forever. It blows your mind. And so there's that realm. And, I know when people say sometimes you get out into the Spirit and I pray, and all of a sudden I'm praying. I might have been there. Somebody says, Brother Higgins said one time he was praying for four hours and something. He come out. He said, I thought I was praying for an hour only. But he'd been praying there for a long time. So with God, time is short. I remember, when Brother Higgins said this, when Jesus appeared to him seven times, gave him some information, and he says, the time is short. Be prepared. I'm coming. Tell the people I'm coming soon. How many of you know Jesse Duplantis? Jesse Duplantis, he had this, I'm just talking about last days, right? He says he always wanted to see the Lord. I wish I could just go to heaven. I heard stories about heaven. One day, he says, the Lord took him to heaven. He said he went up there. He said, heaven is a very busy place. Things happening everywhere. People are happy, walk around, and you'll meet somebody like David and say, hey, how are you? They know your name right away. People in heaven know your name. If people don't know you here, they know you in heaven. If you saw the Apostle Paul, he says, hello, Blake, how you doing? Did you ever read my book? That's how it is in heaven. People know each other. I remember my dad when he says, son, when I die, am I going to find mom? I said, yeah, they'll help you out. But he said, when somebody's dying, there's always something happening because somebody's always coming in. They're getting ready for that person that just, whoop, they're coming, they died, they're there. And so there's always an excitement. Somebody's coming. So Jesse dies, and doesn't die. I mean, he goes to the realm of the Spirit, goes to heaven. He's there in heaven, and the Lord is showing him different things. And he says, when the angel showed up to him, he says, Jesse, I'm here from the God of heaven. Jesus has a special message for you. He goes up to heaven with his angel. So he showed him around different things happening, and he's got all these questions. Then when Jesus came, I'm going to go right to the end. So he says to him, Jesus said to him, the message was this. Tell people I'm coming home soon. Is that all you got to say? The Lord said to him, he said, the people know that. People know you. He said, no, they don't know that. I'm coming soon. And he brought him back to earth. So Jesus is coming soon. A thousand years. Like, we don't know when he's coming, but he's coming. He's supposed to live like he's going to come anytime. And live like he's not going to come for a long time. You got to just be ready. So, people try to put dates on different things. When the end of the world will come. But Jesus said, no one knows except God himself. When different things happening. Disciples were asking the Lord about the restoration and kingdom of Israel. And here's what Jesus said over here in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 68. The Common English translation says this. As a result, those who have gathered together asked the Lord, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel now? Because, they had certain questions as Israelites for Jesus that we wouldn't ask. They would have a question that we wouldn't have. Sometimes people misinterpret different things about what Jesus, when he talks to the Israelites, but some of it applies to us, but not everything applies to us. So he says, it isn't for you to know the times or seasons the Father has set in his own authority. Rather, you will receive power and the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the end of the world. They're asking Jesus about the end time. Jesus said, no, but listen, you'll have the Holy Spirit. How many of you got the Holy Spirit? Well, you don't have to know everything. Thank God you need to know to have the Holy Spirit. Because he's going to teach you things and protect you and help you get through things. So his disciples asked him a question about a certain season. He said, You know, people don't know exact seasons of times. Jesus is coming back for the church, and we know as the rapture. The Bible calls it the catching away. We don't know the time clock of Jesus has set, or God has set in there, when he's going to come, when he steps on earth, one of these days. Like if we knew, okay, Jesus' second coming is going to happen on this year and this time, we'd say, okay, we got it made. Right? But that's not in the Bible. Neither does the Bible tell you exactly where you should have your work. You should go to work. That's up to you. You know, people say, well, should I go work in a pipeline? Where should I go to work? Well, let the Lord lead you and make some decisions yourself, maybe. But sometimes, you know, you need to know because God's telling you, seek me. 2 Peter 3:8 says, but beloved, be not ignorant of one thing, that one day is with the Lord 1,000 years, as I mentioned, and 1,000 years as a day. So, there are different things in the world we should be aware of in these last days. But we don't always have to, you know, know these particular things that we should. Bible, if Bible tells us, it's none of our business to know certain things, but certain things you have to be able to do. Like, hey, let's continue to be busy preaching the gospel, praying, living right, upholding our people, upholding the hands of people, praying for our government to make right decisions, protecting the nation. You know, hey, listen, you don't understand this. There are other nations that are trying to interfere into our government. And we need to pray protection for those people. There's pressures going on in the back room of different things. We need to pray for our nation today. So people have given up on that Jesus is coming back, so they just live whatever they want to live. So in the times that I've gone to a lot of the funerals, and we talked about this a number of times with the different things, like people, you know, I said, like, sometimes people live like they're going to live here forever. You're not going to live here forever. And my cousin went to bed the other night. I don't know if she thought she was going to get up next day, but she's gone. We don't know. But we're supposed to live like Jesus is coming back tomorrow. If you live like Jesus is coming back tomorrow, we wouldn't do not even half the things we do. And how we would treat each other. And get ready for the things of God. And that's how we should live. Like, hey, we get ready. I mean, we should live our lives and be happy and enjoy life. But we should maybe clean up a little bit in our spirituality. Live right. Here's what Titus says. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 and 15. Because some people have given up on that Jesus is coming back. So when you give up on that kind of, if you get that kind of lethargy in your life and spiritual laziness, then you get lazy spiritually. You don't pray anymore, don't read your Bible anymore, like you said, Pastor Kent, like you got lazy. Or got too busy. You know? I understand that. I've been there. I've traveled and I say, hey, there's times that I'm just busy all day. Like when we went to this conference, we were busy around the clock. I couldn't visit him. I have a brother living in Saskatoon. I never had 1 hour to go visit him. To even just to find him. I have Ray Martell, a good friend of mine, who's a good friend of Spirit Alive, and he's got a television program there going on. I couldn't visit him. There's different friends. So they had it busy around the clock. And so we were there, you know, helping out. Here's what happened. Titus 2, 13 and 14 in King James, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. He's telling them, look for that hope. Look to the hope that Jesus is coming back. That's your hope. When you have that in your heart, that Jesus is coming back, you get excited about it. And you start doing things for God. You start living for Him. And then not only that, you know, you purify yourself. And you start doing good works. You start helping out. Some people, they quit going to church. You're supposed to be helping out. Get the message out. Right? So there are many people living in fear, as I mentioned. And 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of a sound mind." You think some people have lost their minds what they're doing? But we shouldn't, you know, how many people, what does psychology tell us? That when you get too much in fear and panic, you lose your mind. How many people, you get up in the morning, you're supposed to be somewhere, you're just afraid to be late, and you lose your mind. You can't find your keys, your socks, nothing. Huh? You feel like Mr. Bean. I felt like that yesterday. Was it yesterday we did the funeral? You can't remember. He only goes so far as memory. So I got up in the morning. I did my yard 3 times, shoveling snow. You know, I said, okay, I'm going to shovel the snow, so tomorrow morning I won't have to do it. That was the second time. And then in the morning I got up, okay. I took the dogs out, I think, at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I just noticed the front, it's so full of snow everywhere. I mean, and the grader went by and put a huge pile of snow. So I'm digging my way out, and Pastor Ken comes by in his suit, jumps out of his car with his shoes on, looking for another shovel. I said, "No, go away." I said, "I'll take care of this." And when he left, I started to cry. Because I have to get myself out of this thing, you know? So I'm shoveling snow. My wife's probably, you know, "Hey, he's got to leave for this funeral." So finally, it's like 1:45. I hadn't even showered yet. You never saw a guy shower so quickly? And lucky he got short hair. So I felt like Mr. Bean that day. And so I kind of lost my head because of the anxiety of getting there. And so I thank God we worked together that day. And I think it was God's will that we did, because I couldn't have done that on my own. But people have lost their heads in these days. That's what I'm trying to say to you about my own experience, because sometimes you get so full of stuff, And you're running around for different things that you're not supposed to run around for. And you're all anxious and fearful and mad at everybody. I think it's the wrong spirit. Criticizing people, criticizing the government, criticizing that guy, criticizing this person. And lost your head. So I don't think God wants us to be that way. Do you? I don't think so. I think we should have peace. And be straight, level-headed, and say, "Okay, there's something here. We need to get ourselves together here." And so, give people some peace. People are looking for peace right now, and they're looking to you. The Bible says, "As the days get darker, you and I are supposed to be shining brighter and brighter." How many of you ever had a fight with your neighbor? Don't raise your hand right now, but. You know, you had fight. I mean, there's times that I'm mad at my neighbors. One neighbor, I won't tell you who he is, but he's got cars everywhere. Fixing cars, having business. I'm mad at them like every, "Oh, he's got another car. I ain't got another." I'm complaining. He's got cars everywhere. Parks on my part of my driveway. I'm trying to get out of my driveway. He's got this truck on there, that car on there, he's fixing everything, like continually. I'm going to tell him what I think. I'm going to tell him, "Listen, you better move. I'm calling the city of Thunder Bay. You're in my front area, impeding my, you know." You ever think like that? When I see him, I'm going to tell him off. You ever get like that? But the Lord helps you, right? You get like that too. Yeah. But you know, we all get that way somewhere, right? So what we did, okay, it's Christmas. I want to take my neighbor, buy some chocolates. The cheapest bar, cheapest chocolate, they get by it. And some mandarins. Knock on his door. Sir, I got you some of those mandarins here. Oh, you didn't have to do that. I said, yeah, I know. And in my heart, right? I'm trying to be a good neighbor. I'm not, criticize them, get mad at them. But you know what? Little gift like that does something to you, right? Does something for you and for them. This morning, I'm leaving for the church. He's just waving at me. He's happy. He'd been away for like maybe, I don't know, he's been away about a month now again. I was happy. But he shows up this morning. Let's all stand. I'm just want to talk to you this morning. Did you notice that? There's no real particular. What's the scripture this morning? Is it? What did Pastor talk about? I don't know. Talked about his neighbor. But listen, this is what we're trying to say. Don't lose your head. Let the Lord lead you. Don't follow crowds. Right? Majority is not always right. We know that from Scripture. Amen. We always say, let's take a vote. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we want to thank you this morning. That in the last days you said that tough times will come, but we know that you're with us. You're the very Lord God, Jehovah Shammah, the ever-present God, that peace we have in our hearts is there to lead us and guide us, that we have a clear mind, that we're not going to lose our mind on different issues. We're not going to get all over-emotional about things. Yes, we do have emotions, but we want to keep a check on how to not to act out. We act on what we believe, not on react on what we feel. So we thank you. We take a check on ourselves. So we ask your forgiveness. We pray the prayer of forgiveness. And Father, forgive us for acting out, saying things about different, maybe not acting the way you want us to. So forgive us in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the blood that cleanses us, washes us, strengthens us. And I want to thank you for the peace that passes all understanding in our hearts to lead and guide us. And we're not going to be afraid. Even as this world gets darker and darker, we're not going to be afraid. Because you said, don't be afraid. You're going to be there to guide us, lead us. And you're not going to just tell one person or two people something, but you're going to tell your whole church. The whole church is going to know. Because they'll all have this witness on the inside of them by the Holy Spirit. What we should do. Where we should go. How we should conduct our lives. According to your word. So I want to thank you this morning for your direction and leading, and your wonderful presence is with us. Thank you for that. And I pray for everyone watching online or watching here, if they're not saved, Lord God, you said you sent your only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. They must be born again, you said, to enter the kingdom of God. To have that peace and assurity that I'm aligned with the Father of mercies and compassion, the God of the living, the God who knows the beginning from the end. And so, Father, we right now, along with everybody else in this auditorium and those watching online, we confess that Jesus is Lord. We confess that He is our Savior, our Lord. And if those of you that never invited Jesus, we just pray right now that you invite him in your heart. Say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came here and died for my sins and the whole world. And you're the gift to the world, as you said. And so we receive that gift of salvation of Jesus. And it's not because of we've done anything, but you've done it all to give us salvation. We can't earn anything to get it. You did it all. So we thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for that we're brand new people. And if we've been away, as we said, that we just say, Lord, forgive us. we reconnect with you in fellowship. We thank you for everyone who said that prayer for the first time, that they are now born again. They are your children. And I just pray the peace of God upon every life, that no matter what's going on the world, on television, whatever, that our line of following you is laid out for us in the Bible. And that not only that, but we have the witness in our spirit by the Holy Ghost, the way of peace, that we will not be afraid. As the Bible says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. So we made that commitment, that no matter what happens, we will not be afraid, that no sickness, no disease will strike us. You said that you would protect us from every sickness and every disease. And we pray for those families that have lost loved ones that are having a hard time today. I pray in the name of Jesus, we stand together with them. We ask that your comfort and mercy will strengthen each life, that they'd have this infusion of inner strength inside of them by the Holy Spirit. I send a special prayer to my cousins over in BC today who lost their very loved one, our dear cousin, our dear precious one. I pray a covering over Hazel, Mama, and all the rest of the siblings and grandchildren she left behind. We thank you for your great comfort of your Holy Spirit. And I know right now that Cindy's rejoicing with her dad in heaven, with David, and they're waiting for the rest of them to come in. What a glorious reunion that must have been in heaven. I want to thank you that all of us who've lost loved ones during this time or any other time, because Jesus, you said that we will all see each other again. We'll look face to face in the eye, as my good cousin here, Sterling, lost her grandmother during this season, that you will see grandma again in the name of Jesus and all the loved ones that went before. I give you praise, Lord Jesus, for your loving kindness, your tender mercies. We thank you. Cover everyone with the blood. Protect everyone with the blood, that no sickness, no disease, no disaster will come upon them, that no weapon formed against you will prosper, that everything you do will be under the covering of the blood of Jesus, that he is your strong tower, and he is the your shelter in a time of difficulties, and you will go through these times. And God has sent his angels to guide you and to lead you and to give you special instructions at the time when you need it, but trust in him with all your heart. And do not depend on your own understanding of what you see, because he is leading you. No matter if you don't see it, no matter if you don't feel it, God promised he will lead you in every detail of your life, because he loves you and he'll never forsake you. That's what the spirit of prophecy says this morning. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Lift that hand and say, thank God. He hears me. He answers my prayers. He's protected me, supplied all I need. I'm healthy and whole. In Jesus' name, amen.